Hello, and welcome to Real Talk on your Island Connection, Voice of Vashon at KVSH 101.9 FM, on your VOV app, and at voiceofvashon.org. We're here thanks to the generosity of Windermere Vashon Real Estate, who supports all our community information programming, and they make our emergency alert service possible. You can find them on the web at windermerevashon.com. I'm Susan McCabe, your host, and I'm here to let you know that May is Mental Health Awareness Month. So today, we're going to talk about angst, particularly among teens. Teen suicide is among the leading cause of death in people 15 to 19 years old. Washington's suicide rate in general is higher than the national average at 15.7 suicides per 100,000 people versus 13 per 100,000 people nationwide. Young people in a recent program called Forefront in the Schools identified their most pressing problems on their own. And the first one on the list was anxiety. Then came substance abuse, eating disorders, depression, peer and academic pressure, social pressure, and suicidal ideation. I wonder if this is mental illness or just the new normal among teens or in our culture in general. Here to help us understand this phenomenon today are Reverend Lee Weber, who is pastor at Vashon's Presbyterian Church. Welcome, Lee.
Nice to be here. Thank you for having me.
And Beverly Skeffington, who is the mental health coordinator at the Vashon Presbyterian Church. And you folks have decided to bring a film to us. Welcome, Beverly.
Thank you. I'm very glad to be back here with you.
You folks have decided to bring a film to Vashon Island called Angst, and you're going to do that the morning of May 18th at 9 a.m. at the Presbyterian Church. So why did you choose to do this?
Having watched the film over in an elementary school over in Seattle about a month or so ago, the film was so compelling that I felt that the people of Vashon could certainly benefit from seeing it, and it was just it just spoke to what I understand from the statistics. It's very sad to see young children. The movie is largely told from the voices of these children and teenagers, and to see kids as young as elementary school really being stressed out about so many things is just adds proof to the fact that our amygdalas are being overstimulated by all kinds of things, our culture, media, cell phones, Facebook, you know, just we're fight or flight all the time, and our brains are rebelling against it.
What, if anything, is the antidote to that?
Well, we can be watching for signs of the illness, and to be an advocate for change, to offer places where people can feel safe to talk about these things that they're going through. And I hope that after seeing the film, people will want to gather and maybe have a group about that to meet however often seems appropriate to help. It's always good to educate. We're hoping to have a lot of people from mm-hmm. the schools and preschools and counselors attend and share.
You know, I was reading some of the material you so graciously provided me before the show, and as I read it, I was thinking about life in these United States and how it's almost become a competitive sport, and some of the causes for this extreme anxiety among young people were listed, among them perfectionism and fear of failure. Where does that come from? Can you identify the intensity that has brought on this need for perfection? Lee?
I wonder if kids are naming something that's always been a problem. I wonder if our children are actually braver than we are, and that they are naming something that our generation experiences and has experienced in the past that we didn't so boldly name. And if anything, I think that looking to the kids to take leadership here, and the fact that they are naming it, the fact that they are talking about it, is an invitation for us to both own our own experience, but also to open up the space and to use our power as adults to facilitate conversation, to facilitate quality resources for kids and parents. As far as perfectionism, you know, I remember back when I was in high school, the pressure for the SAT, the pressure for applying at the right schools, the pressure to go to the right school, the pressure to think about graduate school when you were only in high school. That's just the pressure of the culture in which we live. And I don't think it's necessarily a new pressure on this generation, although they do have the burden of where our economy is today and the fact that jobs are harder to get. So they do have that added burden, which you could probably say is, again, on our generation. So I'm not, I think it's really important to recognize that our kids actually may be naming a truth that's been there.
So how do we in our generation, the parents of these kids, teach them something we haven't learned ourselves?
By getting educated. And I think that's precisely why when Beverly came to me about the movie, why I wanted to see the movie happen at the church, because we're so centrally located. And what we wanted to say is, here's a quality resource that we can provide for the community, and we can connect, we can continue to connect the community with quality resources so that we can all educate ourselves, so that we can learn about what we're not talking about. We all know people who suffer with anxiety or depression, or we ourselves suffer with anxiety or depression, but opening it up for conversation is something that we haven't done on a regular basis. And what we're trying to say or begin the conversation about with this movie is picking up from our forum in the fall is, we're not talking about it. We should talk about it. And we're boldly going to talk about it no matter what. So we're going to talk about it, and we're going to provide these resources for the community. And we hope people will take a risk and come and enter the conversation with us, be vulnerable with us, so that together we can start getting real with each other.
Getting real with each other. Doesn't that sort of fly in the face of the cultural philosophy that happiness is all the rage? Happiness is what we're all supposed to have, and how do we define that? And is that even mentally healthy?
To get real?
Yeah. No, to be happy all
the time. To be happy all the time.
Yeah.
I think it's a misnomer, and it's something that we project. I remember when I first started talking to some off-island mental health agencies to ask if we could bring some support here. One of the off-island mental health agencies said to me, "Is anybody depressed on Vashon? It's so beautiful there." And I said, "Well, that's right. Vashon is all about rainbows and unicorns. Nobody's ever depressed, and no one ever gets sick, and we don't even get colds on Vashon." And it's just this idea that, you know, because you're living in a setting that's beautiful, somehow everything's supposed to be beautiful. And life is not always beautiful. Sometimes it's terribly painful. And being honest about that, because that's the human condition.
Well, I think too, that these anxiety and depression, other mental disorders, they go across culture, across economic lines, male, female, transgender. Depression and anxiety is just rampant, and we need to come to terms with that and soothe some of these folks that are really hurting out there. And so hopefully as we talk about it more, and I do think it is being talked about more than, say, 5 years ago. I think that there's an acknowledgement that this problem is real. It's not just some teenagers being teenagers, you know? It's
right.
Real.
Yeah. So how do we soothe people? Let's get specific. What are the processes when you say we need to talk about it? How do we talk about it? What are we bringing up?
Well, one of the things that we're doing at Vashon Presbyterian Church is offering our facility the first Thursday of every month for friends and families of people who are suffering mental illness, such as panic disorders, anxiety, depression, bipolar, schizophrenia, to come together on a first Thursday at 7 p.m. and share how their life is going and how they're searching for some comfort from other people in how they got through it. And the group has been in meeting since early December. We've been meeting monthly, and we rarely have the same people there. So it shows to me that as word of mouth gets around and as people come in and out of their situations with their loved ones, you can offer different kind of, you can bring different things to the table. Once you're out of a crisis situation, you can share the things that happened to you during that crisis and really help other people who are in the midst of it and thinking they're never going to be able to get their head above the water.
Beverly Skeffington, tell us one more time exactly what you call that meeting that is monthly and when it happens.
It's a NAMI group, which is the National Alliance on Mental Illness. So it's NAMI, mm-hmm. Friends and Family Group.
Sort of like Al-Anon for families of
alcoholics.
I'm not
sure because I don't know all the rules and regs of that group, but
well, I guess I'm thinking it's for the families of people who are suffering diagnosed mental illness.
Yes,
but those family members are not diagnosed.
It's a caregiver support group, basically, and it's an opportunity for people to tell their story in a confidential space. We do keep confidence there in a confidential setting to talk about what it is that they're carrying with them, and you know, some of the stories we've been listening to are really difficult. Are really challenging stories that people are walking around with, that people in the grocery store with you, people at the beach with you are carrying this stuff, and giving them a place where they can put it down, even if only for an hour and a half.
That, you know, what really strikes me is that in our culture today, we have to set aside a private space where you can be the human that you really are, rather than being able to say, when someone asks you on the beach, how are you? Say, you know, I'm struggling. But I'm here. I'm okay. And I'm functioning. But I'm struggling. We're all struggling with one thing or another. And I think this is my guess, that cultural expectation that we have no problems is part of the problem.
Yeah. And I mean, it's time that we name suicide for what it is. It's death by depression.
Uh-huh.
We think about it in different terms sometimes, but it's death by depression. And what is it that gets somebody from one step to the next? Well, we don't know. We don't know that story. But the more we talk about it, the more we open up space to be vulnerable with each other, then we open up space for people to say, hey, I'm in trouble. Can you help me get some help?
And doesn't that opening to vulnerability allow for greater intimacy and a stronger community?
Absolutely.
You are listening to Real Talk on the Voice of Vashon at 101.9 FM, KVSHLP, Vashon Island, Washington. I'm Susan McCabe, your host. I'm here during May Mental Health Month with Reverend Lee Pastor from the Vashon Presbyterian Church. Reverend Lee Weber, pastor of the Vashon Presbyterian Church, and Beverly Skeffington, who is a mental health coordinator at the church. We're talking about angst among teens. You folks are going to show a film May 18th, 9 a.m. at the church titled Angst, and there will be free food.
There will be free food.
And the admission is also free.
And the admission is also free. Let's get back to teens and what we are learning are the underlying causes of this, what might be considered an excess or an explosion of anxiety among American youth. And Lee, I think you were referring to, this is just an opening of that door that's been there, that's been closed for generations.
I do think it's worse, but I think it's been there for generations. When it was certainly there in my generation, but when I came home from school, I stopped being connected with my peer group other than by the telephone, which wasn't a texting telephone. It was just a rotary dial phone. So we were able to turn it off to a certain extent. So I do think they have a more magnified experience because they're perpetually connected. They're connected virtually. They're connected to a greater extent. So they're never getting a timeout. But at the same time, one of the things we know is that mental illness also runs in families, just like cancer can run in families and diabetes runs in families and heart disease runs in families. And one of the things that I've found so interesting in this caregiver support group is the number of people who have said, well, after my child was diagnosed, then I found out that that's what was wrong with my uncle, and that was what was going on with my cousin. And it was never talked about. So one woman expressed to me recently that had she known, she would have looked for the symptoms a little bit earlier. She might have put two and two together and thought about that. We know our family history medically. When we go into the doctor, we talk about that.
Right.
But do you know your mother and father and your biological aunts and uncles' history in terms of their mental health? That may not be something that you know, and not all questionnaires even ask about it.
Wayne, I have two questions. Maybe you can answer. One is, what are the signs that parents should be looking for in teens who might be suffering anxiety and depression? And two, anxiety and depression are so prevalent. Are they now the common cold in mental illness? And is it something that comes in and out of a person's life? So those are two kind of different questions. But
yeah, I think it can be characterized by feelings of worry, fear, nervousness, apprehension. You know, suddenly is your loved one having headaches or even stomach aches. Myself, I can remember in elementary school, there was a substitute teacher that when she was going to be in my classroom, I got a stomach ache just because I was so afraid of her. And that's the kind of thing, it always takes me back to that, that mm-hmm. there's something, there's this fear that they're not, they're not good enough and not they want to be like maybe some group in the school, but that's not who they really are. I think that's the problem. We're telling kids, media and culture is telling kids, oh, you need to dress this way, you need to act like this, and then you'll be, everything is going to be great.
So we're telling them their identity comes from outside them.
Exactly. And so other kids are feeling, well, no, within, Where do I fit in? I have these feelings, different feelings than that, but culture's telling me I need to be like that. So they're kind of bouncing back and forth between, that's a real conflict. That's living one, yeah. Living two different ways.
Your own voice then carries no traction. You're not supposed to listen to your own voice.
Right. And I think one of the things that's really important to identify here is that there's a wide array of signs and symptoms of all of these mental illnesses, more than we could possibly ever name. But our commitment and where we're really landing is we're going to offer resources continually, like this movie and the handouts and the therapist who will lead the discussion question afterwards and future forums that we're going to have. We're going to offer quality resources that will be free of charge for the community to come in and get better educated so that they do feel a little more equipped to enter into conversations with their children, with their family members, maybe with their child's doctor.
I think the film, having seen it before, really talks about all the different ways that it may manifest itself. And certainly withdrawing is a sign, but gosh, when most teenagers go into that kind of phase, you don't think really too much about it, except that there may be more there than just being a teenager kind of thing. So I really appreciate in the film that this film is done largely in the words of children who have experienced it, children and teens. They're so wise. It's phenomenal, really, that they're able to express where this angst is coming from. And so
in some of the literature you sent me, there was a list of causes of anxiety among young people, and that they're not learning emotional skills. They're not learning time and stress management because we're told that they're not supposed to have those feelings, or they're told that they're not supposed to have those feelings. So again, I think it, and you mentioned it, Lee, it kind of goes back to the parents' generation. Parents weren't taught that either. So what right. sort of skills are you going to be discussing when that you learn in the film or that you just know of from your experience?
Well, and that's exactly why we have a licensed therapist. At the end of the movie, there will be an opportunity for small group discussion and for a question and answer period where we have a licensed therapist, someone with the skill set to answer those questions and at the very least point you towards the kinds of resources that you need to access. It's all about education. Everything is about education, and we are going to provide this community with an abundance of educational opportunities and resources. We're also working on just a list of resources that you could come by the church and pick up that will connect you with professionals that can provide you the help that you need.
If we don't get to see the film, can you give us some ideas of coping mechanisms
yeah.
that parents can teach kids?
Yes. There's going to be a brief breathing exercise demonstration by Robert Littman. He's going to come and present at the beginning. And one of the fascinating things that I learned from the movie is that the simple act of snapping your fingers one at a time, one hand, then the next, can distract you out of a panic situation. There are so many things. Looking at an object close up and then as camera people do, put that in the background and focus on something further away. It's distracting the mind from that circular thinking that's just going round and round and round and doesn't free you up for open thoughts in your, you know, it's impossible to get through once that amygdala starts going in your fight or flight. It's very hard to break.
Talk more about the amygdala. What role does that have in our emotional well-being? How does it work?
Well, I just remember, I'm not going to remember the details, but just in general, that it takes you to a place of safety in a way if you're feeling upset or challenged. And it's meant to do it way less frequently than our kids and adults in today's society are experiencing. And it's kind of wearing it out to the point where it's changing your brain. And it can permanently destroy that capability until the cycle is broken and the sources of aggravation and anxiety are removed by either counseling or medication or other physical activity. I guess physical activity is also a wonderful antidote to breaking the circular thinking that sometimes happens. And oftentimes people who are suffering anxiety and depression find it crucial to be very dedicated to a strenuous form of physical activity on a daily basis, kind of keeps them centered.
And that works with teenagers.
Yeah.
I've seen it work with teenagers. Mm-hmm. A lot of physical activity. And if you're talking about the amygdala, would that be compared to what we call the lizard brain? Is that the same thing?
I'm not sure.
But it sounds as though what it can change the brain chemistry. And hopefully some of these techniques for managing stress can change the brain chemistry back. Mm-hmm. So that it doesn't allow as much dwelling on the negative.
Right. To give it a rest, you know, to give that part of your brain a rest. Mm-hmm. There's so much that gets it going.
And to recognize that for some kids, it is going to take therapy, or it is going to, for any of us, it's going to take therapy, or it might take medication at different times in our lives. One of your biggest resources is talk to your child's doctor. Make your child's well check be about more than just their physical body, or include their brain health in their physical body. Mm-hmm. And ask your doctor when you're filling out questionnaires, you know, do you have a questionnaire on depression or anxiety? A good doctor of an adolescent should ask that, should give them that kind of questionnaire. Mm-hmm. And they will.
They will.
Yeah.
Okay, parents.
I think they're
ask your doctors to do that.
They're capable.
I'm not sure they are, but okay.
I'll buy that.
But they do have the skill set to put you in touch with quality resources as well. And we're, I mean, we see ourselves as a, as kind of a hub where we can provide networking for these kinds of resources and education and a safe place for people to talk. But you need to advocate for yourself too. People need to speak up and say, I'm in trouble and I need help, or I'm worried about my child and we might need help. Go to your school guidance counselor. Talk. You've got to talk.
Yeah, it's got to be easier for people to do that. We've got to make that not such a hard thing to do.
We need to erase the stigma of speaking up.
And that kind of comes back to the whole notion of perfectionism. Happiness is all the rage. We're supposed to be better. I know some of the pressure on teens comes from parents who, or from the culture that says you have to get perfect grades. You have to be very good at this in order to get into a good college, which is darn near unaffordable at this point. So it seems as though the level of pressure continues to rise on young people in this culture and the way we're running it, so that who they are now is enough pressure, but the pressure is also, gosh, who are you going to be when you grow up? Or what are you going to be when you grow up? Who knows? I'd like to get to be myself. I want to thank you both. We're out of time. I want to thank you, Lee Weber, pastor of the Vashon Presbyterian Church, and Beverly Skeffington, mental health coordinator for Vashon Presbyterian Church, for joining me here on Real Talk on the Voice of Vashon. What final words do you have to say to folks on the topic of anxiety and depression?
I would just like to say to contact the church and ask for resources. If the person that answers the phone cannot help them, I hope they will forward that call to me. And
what's the phone number?
At the church, it's 206-463-2010. And I'm continuing to further my education. There's an enormous amount of support going on in Seattle. So there are lots of seminars and workshops and just... it's amazing. So if you're not finding those, I might be able to help you find places.
Thank you for bringing those to us. Reverend Lee Weber?
Come see the movie and be part of the conversation and speak up. Just speak up.
Thank you. You've been listening to Real Talk on the Voice of Vashon. I'm your host, Susan McCabe, here with you on Tuesdays at noon and Fridays at 6 p.m. Real Talk is the show that seeks answers to questions large and small. Send your questions to me at realtalk@voiceofvashon.org, and I'll find an expert to get some answers for us both. Thanks for listening.